The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
A lot has changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store 35 years ago. Car phones have become cell phones, grunge band hits have become oldies, and you can order furniture online. But what hasn't changed is the way they do business, aka the Bob's way. Doing things the Bob's way means that when I shop at Bob's, I know I'll find the latest top-rated styles like the Aspen sofa for just $399, bedrooms with storage and charging, Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and more. All at 90s-era prices. There's even no money down financing and lightning fast shipping, so you aren't stuck waiting months for your furniture to arrive. Plus, Bob's still makes furniture shopping fun with friendly associates and cafes full of free treats and ice cream. Want to see for yourself? Stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend to party it up like it's 1991 and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buttig.
And I'm Greg Rickhart.
Greg.
Yes.
You haven't really talked a lot to this person that we're having on today.
I have. We have a lovely off-camera relationship. I've never had the honor or the privilege of working with her.
Oh, yes. Well, I got to work with her very briefly on General Hospital. We have the queen of daytime. I'd say she's one of the queens, at least.
She's for sure one of the queens of daytime. She is, more so than that, when I think of our guest, I think she's just a tour de force. Mm-hmm. So you guys, without any further ado, our guest today is the one, the only, Miss Nancy Lee Grand.
Yes, known as Alexis Davis on General Hospital, but
also has a storied career working on Santa Barbara.
She was a very popular character on Santa Barbara. She had a part on One Life to Live, but she's done various other things. And she's a very interesting person. She's a very powerful woman. And I just can't wait to talk to her.
We're going to have a great chat with her when we come back. We are joined by the lovely, the amazing, the incredible Nancy Lee Grand.
Very kind.
Thank you for joining us. I want to say that when we finally got you locked down, locked in, Isaac, our producer, who's incredible, we have a group thread, and he said, getting Nancy onto the show was like trying to catch a hummingbird.
It was, you asked, you both are my friends, and I love you, and I like to do things for my friends, and I know both of you have done things for me when I've asked, and every time, I wasn't really trying to be difficult at all, it's just every time you asked, it was a dark week. Or something, and I was out of town.
Yeah, we get it. We have lives.
I was definitely going to do this.
Well, so we are so happy you're here. I'm so happy to see you.
Because I'm very happy to be here.
I know we didn't work together a lot on General Hospital, but the moments that we did, I just love you, and I think you're fucking amazing, because I can cuss on this. Sorry.
Oh, you can? Oh, that's just very exciting.
You're just amazing. You're an incredible actress.
Well, fucking thank you, Rebecca.
But
I'll have to give my daughter $1.05 or something.
My son, we can't get him to stop cursing. He's like, it started with him saying, is this a safe space? And I'd be like, yeah, what's a curse word every now and again? Now he doesn't even ask for it. Just like, and I'm like, buddy, you can't just go around Drop an F-bombs.
My daughter and I are just, it's the worst. And there were, you know, I think I was appropriate up until a certain point. And then I just thought, you're old enough.
Yeah. You're old enough. You can handle it.
I'm sort of like, part of me is like, I don't care about like him learning about sex and language isn't even met. It's like, as long as he's not violent, then I have a little bit more of a bandwidth for curse words, clearly. But anyway.
I love to swear. I just do, because there's some words that just
feel good.
It feels good. It gets it out.
It does.
Do you do this at work? When I have to be really angry in a scene, if I'm not feeling it in running lines with, or just in my preparation, I will like curse my head off in rehearsal because sometimes that kind of gets me closer to it.
I don't have a lot of problem getting in touch with my anger.
Do you still? I mean, this is jumping around because I want to talk about all the things you've done and things. But do you still learn your scripts like the day, like on set on the day? You do. Oh my God! I said to him, I go, sometimes I remember when I worked with you, you just didn't. We didn't really rehearse. You learn them so quickly.
What's your routine?
Well, we've all been doing this.
Yes, we are. But I don't have that ability.
So here's what I do. I look. And I have a way of being able to make a decision about what time, how much of my energy this merits. Because I don't mean that disrespectfully. It's just if I'm just saying...
Right, if it's a monologue,
or if I'm being a utility player.
Yes.
And just doing some basic stuff that doesn't demand much, everyone hates me over there because I really can, up until when the minute they say, they're like, she doesn't know her shit. She's like, I'm like, where am I? Where's my script? You know, and my glasses, my 3 children on the show at some point are all like, you know. And then the minute they say 5, 4, 3, 2, I'm like,
I'm there.
And I like to live a little dangerously and just sort of, you know, it's kind of like Russian roulette. Am I going to get it out or not?
I love it. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to respond. There is something really gratifying about that.
It's fun for me to just sort of fly by the seat of my pants a little bit, but I also can edit. I can edit really fast in my head. I can make decisions really fast in my head. I like to be spontaneous, and so I don't. But I also, you know, I went to the Playhouse. So the first year, you know, I had Meisner. You know, the first year is all listening and responding. So I know how to do that.
So did I, yeah.
Right? And then the second year, you ask the question, why? Every moment has to matter. And I will do that when it's merited. But it's just not merited all the time.
Yeah. I agree.
The one part of that I relate to is whether I'm a utility player that day, and I don't
know
what
did I say?
Say
I said a utilitarian.
No, but I completely got it.
I didn't mean that.
No, but you there are days when you're driving story and
that's
days when you're supporting.
Right. It's when you're
fits
just,
and starts
you're in the background of a party.
Absolutely.
But the one part of what you just said that I relate to is, it doesn't matter if I have one line or a 2-page monologue, I am up until the last minute holding onto my script like it is my Linus blanket, and then I don't feel like I know it, and then 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But for me, the adrenaline kicks in, and then I'm locked in. And I rarely mess up. So that's my next question is, do you drop lines often? Is that a yes?
I think depending on the length of time you worked, how they evaluate your skill set, some get a little more freedom than others.
Okay.
I try not to take advantage, but a lot of times they're in the booth going, is she done yet? Wait, where is she going? Wait, it's a lot of that, right? So they're very generous with me. And they give, Tony did that too, Gary. You know, you said it because you also have to respect for the crew, you know, and they have to have some direction. And so there is a discipline. It's just, I get a little more leeway, I think.
Well, I think you've earned it.
You have to prove that you kind of know what you're doing. And so people have been around a long time too.
Yeah. They give you respect there.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I really feel, I love my job.
I know.
I love where I work. To be doing this for 40 years. And if anybody ever, I don't like when people go, this is a training ground. It's a great training ground for actors.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's it's a fucking war zone, man.
Yeah, it is.
You better know what you're doing because you won't last.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not training there. Also, you train outside and then come in. And if you're actually prepped and prepared, you can do it.
Yeah. The repetition of doing it every day does make you a better actor.
Yes.
And so in that regard, it is great training. But a training ground, no.
You train before you get the job.
But let's talk about how you weren't really, I mean, from what I've read, that you weren't sure that you were interested in committing to something for so long term.
Right.
So Santa Barbara, you signed, I mean, I know you did, One Life to Live for like a year or two?
I was doing that while I was in school and I wasn't supposed to be. So I was, I thought, isn't that the point of me going to school? It was a two-year, the Neighbor Playhouse two-year program.
Yes, I did as well. I did that as well, yeah.
Yeah. But did you do it in New York?
Yes, I did.
With Meisner?
I did not do,
was he
Bill
not
Esper?
There yet? Well, I'm older than
you. It was Bill Esper.
Yeah. I had Meisner and Esper, so I was very, very lucky. But, you know, I was,
I did it while I was on Guiding Light.
See? Same thing.
So were you not supposed to?
But I really
wasn't. You weren't supposed to
be working. But I wasn't really working that much.
No, I didn't either. Line.
I was like, I was so young and they just didn't really write a ton for me. Maybe in the summer I had a little more, but it was great.
Wait, but explain that part of the...
Because it's like two nights a week or three nights a week. It's very intensive.
But what's the philosophy?
For 2 years.
What's the philosophy behind...
It's every day.
Was it every day?
Well, I went to the school.
Yeah, I went to the school. Maybe it was every day.
You went to the school in the 60s on the east side. That school.
I went to...
You did Esper separately.
It was a two-year program.
Right.
No, it was a two-year program.
Right.
And that was every night, actually,
That was 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah, it was intensive, though, still.
Yeah. That was after, because Esper left the Playhouse after a while, so a lot of people went with him. And
he studied with
Meisner.
What's the philosophy behind not taking a professional job while you're in the program?
Well...
Because you're learning.
Yeah, you're learning. And also, I was, you know, we were... You went with Esper after he left the Playhouse, but at the Playhouse, you're there 8 to 10 hours a day.
Oh.
So, because you also get Shakespeare and you get, you know, voice and there's other things too.
My classes were at night and I mean, there were rare moments where we worked late, but it was not like
that. So how were you able to manage both then if it was...
It's just, there's a will, there's a way. And so that was for part of the time. And then the other part, then I had graduated, so I wasn't there anymore. But I was working with Judith Light and Gerald Anthony. Mm-hmm. So those were my mentors when I was just a lass. And what mentors, right? So, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was doing it with them. And I was a day player. It wasn't a contract role.
And wasn't there a moment where you got a part and Erica Slezak went to bat for you?
Yes.
I think you told me that story because I think something similar happened to me and
I
didn't get
story.
To do it. But you want to share that with...
Well, I don't know how interesting it is other than to say that Erica Slezak is just...
And you got to work with her again at General Hospital.
Just think she is a classy broad.
She's incredible.
And she would admit to being a broad. She's a broad. And I mean that in
the best
sense.
Yes.
Yeah. I was a day player. You know, a day player means you're not under contract, which most of the cast now in shows aren't under contract. Mm-hmm. So that's a switch. But
back then, that was unusual.
Very unusual. Mm-hmm. And so I was a free agent. And I was up for a part in the show called The Gangster Chronicles. And that was an NBC series that I think was a big deal back then. And it was between me and somebody else, Kathleen Lloyd, for this part to play Bugsy Siegel's wife. And this was like a big thing. And so when they did the whole screen tests and all of that, and I was on my third screen test and they were flying me out to L.A. for a fourth one. And Joe Stewart, the producer, sued me. I just said, I can't do this part anymore. I mean, I'm going to, you know, L.A., and I thought I was going to stay in L.A. And he sued me. And so Erica, and I was just this young, I was 21 or something, and
Imagine getting
sued. I was so great. You know, I'm such a grateful worker. And I was like, very professional. And yeah, I went to Erica and I said, I don't know.
What do I do?
And she went upstairs and she just went, what the hell are you doing? You know, she's not under contract and you're going to deny her an opportunity and mess up. You know, she took him out. And he so still sued me.
No, they didn't. Really?
Yes. They brought me up on arbitration and I fought and I won.
What grounds?
I remember having to fly back to New York and it was money. For what?
On what grounds? Like, you didn't have a contract.
He didn't have any grounds, but you can kind of do anything to anybody, can't you? And you defend yourself.
Let's sue him back.
Now anybody can sue anybody and they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So
we're like, do we go there?
No, we'll get there. We have a long hour. Okay. Wait, so okay, so did you get the Gangster Chronicles?
I did not.
But you ended up staying.
And Kathleen Lloyd is a lovely actress, so she that was great. But I ended up staying.
Yeah. And then when Santa Barbara came along, you only wanted to sign a year because you just weren't sure.
I had been working back then. God, I'm old. When I say things like that, I'm like, how did
we,
that happen?
We say things like that. I know. It's like we've all lived through.
Yeah.
So you'll kind of know, but there were guest stars, yes. And this show revolved around the guest star, right? That was the
guest starring roles were the fun roles because the leads were just, the leads. But the guest stars were the murderers or the victims or whatever else.
So I was, and in this, there were maybe 15, 20 of us that would keep getting the guest star stuff, right? So I was making a living and I was up for some things and very close, and I was only 24 or something, 25. And I was working. So I didn't really want to make a commitment to anything, to a soap that on daytime. I wanted to see what there was in primetime. And so then I signed a year, and I had Patrick Mulcahy writing and Michelle Valjean and Bettina Bradbury and the Dobsons, who were theater people. Directors would come in without their shots and just say, let's play, what are we going to do? It was innovative, and writing was so good. I got to do so much that I thought, I'll just stay another year. And then they double your money and double your thing. And I thought, this is, I'd have to have Murphy Brown's part to have a better part than I had on Santa Barbara. It was
it's amazing. Wasn't Justin Dees on that show?
Yes.
Justin Dees.
And I was one of the few people that hadn't been on Broadway. I mean, these were theater people. The writers were theater playwrights. It was
a really beautiful show.
It was a very unusual experience for, which is, I think, why it did so well internationally, too. They called it the soap for smart people.
Right. Were you there when Eileen Davidson was there?
She came in. She was there toward the very end.
But she talks about her time on that show and the writing as being, Greek. It was just.
It was. And even then, it had there so many transitions, and the essence of what the show was had really started to lessen, and become diminished. Because producers would come in and rather than continue the arc of the style and the tone and all of that, they wanted their own mark on it. And so it lessened, but you couldn't, I stayed till the very end, and you couldn't wreck it, really. It was a very special growth time, excuse me, for me as an actress and a woman. Because it really, the writing, I say this, I'm actually writing a book. So I say this in the book.
I was going to write you if you're writing. I was going to ask
you
if you're writing.
Well, it sounds so weird, a memoir. I know, it's like, no, it's I don't know what you, yes. I mean, I'm telling stories. I'm telling situations.
Naming names?
I'm naming names. Good. My ex-boyfriends.
I read an article you were very honest about. You split with a... Was his name
Richard.
Sam?
Which one? There's been a lot. It's been a lot.
not. He was an actor.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah,
Matthew? Sam. Lawrence? Was it Matthew?
I don't know. It was Sam, I thought was the name. But anyway, you said that...
Chris?
You know, clearly he didn't
Richard?
Want...
Richard?
You know. Hold on. We've got them all listed here. All of these cards
don't
are
ask
different
me
boyfriends.
About mine, so...
But it's interesting to me, you know, why I've stayed single my whole life. And, you know, that in writing things out, it really helped me understand things too. So anyway, my stories are funny, and it turns out I really like to write. And I have I think my voice. I've had some people that are in the know look at it, and you know, my voice is very clear, and so they like that. Structurally, I have a lot of work to do.
Wait, so where are you in this process?
Like, well, 300 pages.
Wow, yeah, 300 pages in.
Yeah, but again. I'm a trained actor. I'm not a trained writer, and I don't claim to be. That's a skill set that I'm not writing this for a writing class. But it turns out I really like doing it, and I'm kind of really dedicated to it.
Would you want to write a script?
No. I mean, I say no now. I don't have an interest in that. I have an interest in the truth from, you know... So I'm just speaking my truth about certain things. And my relationships are very revealing about who I am, what I stand for, what I have stood for and shouldn't have stood for, and how to maintain yourself in a relationship, in my relationships. And it turns out that I grew better being single than I think I would have in any of the pairings. I wouldn't have stayed married to any of the men that I was in relationships with.
Well, I'm curious when you say...
I love that. I love that self...
Well, but I'm curious when you say
growth.
That.
Amazing.
Well, some people do it really well with another person. For me, I think it grew me in ways that I don't think that I would have discovered things about myself.
But I think it's inspiring because some people won't even look at themselves and what their part is and what how you know where their growth is.
Mm.
So that's why I think that's... That's a really great thing that you're doing because a lot of people won't look at. Their,
oh yeah,
what
I'm.
They need
I'm
to look
very.
At.
I'm.
I love that.
I'm. I think I'm pretty self-deprecating in the sense that I do take responsibility. I see where I see how my upbringing had to do with, you know, my mom's and dad. You watch your parents' relationship and.
Did they have a good marriage?
They had a loving, wonderful marriage. And they were incredibly dedicated to each other. But my dad was an alcoholic, a very sick.
But you were close to him.
Very, very. I'm very close to everyone in my family. My father's my guy. You know, he's, I love him more than any man I've ever known. But it was problematic. It was problematic. And I also got to watch him recover. So, and become a counselor. You know, he became an addictions counselor and saved hundreds of lives that showed up at his funeral.
Wow.
So.
That's amazing.
That's a blessing for children of alcoholics because when you get to see the other side of it and you.
And the journey.
And the journey. And we were all very open about it and there was a lot of communication. But it's tricky business in, you know, you watch. When somebody's drunk and they're relating to the other parent, that's a dynamic that's tricky. It's tricky to understand because you see so much love, and then you see behavior that's very 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 unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you know this is a common cry. So this is, but I talk about it. I think in a way that might be relatable and hopefully helpful.
Well, one thing I didn't want to gloss over, when you talked about your time on Santa Barbara, how you grew not just as an actor, but you talked about your growth as a woman, like how did you feel like you matured during that time in your life? Because you weren't a mom yet.
No, but I would not have, the way I imagined my life young was not how my life turned out.
What
so,
did you imagine?
I imagined, there's a whole section in my book saying I blame Disney, you know, because you, and they're my bosses, I love them, but we got fed a lot of crap.
Oh, yeah.
And
Prince Charming and all that?
Yeah, I mean, and even, you know, there's all, even now there's the notion of happily ever after. You know, I mean, does you know, what does Prince Charming do the dishes, or is it just Cinderella? I mean, you know, are, do they have equal parts? Why who's taking whose last name? Yeah, so I mean, when I was 11 years old, I said to my mom, why do women take men's last names? And she goes, I worry for you.
No, she did not say, no, I worry for
you. Because she knew even then that I would not go easily down this path. I wanted equality, you know.
That is so fascinating.
I wanted things to be fair.
You are who you are, right?
Right.
You are who you are.
Yeah.
Fair question, by the way.
So back to your question, the character that I played was Julia Wainwright, was, and this was way before this happened to me, and not why I didn't take this path, because it was presented to me in the form of a character, but I played a single woman who wanted to have a baby, and I contracted a man to do it, and or my character did, and so it very much reflected what I didn't even know I was back then, you know, at the time, that Patrick put words in my mouth that I got to say as a character that articulated, helped me learn about my, what was going on with me, because we were in, you know, similar situations where I kept wanting to make a relationship work and wanting to have a family and a baby that way and be a mom. And Julia's journey ended up being different than mine. But I can't, it's hard to explain, but if you watch, even if you YouTube some of the scenes, not only that, my partner, Lane Davies, his character was an alcoholic. So I got to be my mom in that situation and say the things that I wish my mom had said. And I got to get all that out. And our relationship dynamic was almost the same relationship dynamic that I was having with my relationship at the time. And consequentially, why I'm like...
Hey, you've said a lot of
tongue-tied.
Words.
Tongue-tied.
So, you said a lot of words so far.
I've said a lot of words, and I know big words.
One,
yeah. I don't know why
this
I can't say them.
Always have... I always have
consequentially,
a problem with
words,
so.
Yeah,
consequentially,
did I say it? Yeah, and it's hard. But I think this happens with all of our soap characters sometimes,
it is kind
too,
of
because even Alexis and I have similarities in our lives. Something can happen, and then it happens in real life. You know, it happens with your character, and then all of a sudden, or you're having some issue that you don't even realize you're having, and then your character has it, and you go, oh, geez.
Well, I wondered, as you were saying that, did you have a good relationship with Patrick? Because did the cart come before the horse? Like, did he know you well enough to know that?
I didn't know him.
Oh, wow.
And so the Dobsons didn't know anything about me. They didn't know that I would end up having a child on my own. They didn't know any of that. That was the part I played, a lawyer. I'm always playing a lawyer because it's an advocate, and I'm an advocate.
Where did you get that from, being an advocate, using your voice?
My mom and dad raised their girls to speak up for themselves. So we had confidence in being women, and that our voices mattered. That was always something that my parents provided us with. But my sisters we're all on the same side in terms, and they'll speak up too, but I have a real issue with fairness. And so I think I just was a little feistier. And even to the point of it being ridiculous, I remember I was a cheerleader. And
yes, you were. And you were also the prom queen.
Homecoming
queen. That's
and I didn't have a date for homecoming queen. When I hear myself saying this, it just makes me like so silly. But we had a cheerleading team in junior high. And we didn't have uniforms. and they weren't going to get us uniforms. And so I made a whole big thing about how the players have uniforms. Why shouldn't we have uniforms? You know, that kind of thing. Really important stuff.
But advocating for women.
For fairness.
Yes, for fairness.
For fairness.
And did you win?
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's followed you your whole life because now you're playing a lawyer on
I've
on
always
Hospital.
Played a lawyer.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lawyer for 40 years.
And well, you have, you show up with strength
yeah.
and confidence and all of the things that
well, that's
you got,
kind. Yeah, but, I mean, you have to. I'm being paid to do that.
Well,
too,
no, but so. But I mean, you wouldn't get cast as a
yeah, I know. You have to have the
flower,
essence.
You know?
Yeah.
That's fun to play.
Sure.
Too. I mean, I especially in daytime because you're doing it. I mean, it the continuity of it has a long lifespan. Mm-hmm. So you to have a part where you're advocating for things, and I try to keep her interesting, weak and strong and neurotic and so confident.
Didn't Alexis have an alcohol problem too?
Yeah.
At some point?
Yeah,
I remember those scenes when I was there.
Which was interesting to play.
I really,
too.
You're
so I
so
got
good.
To play
yes.
my mom. I got to play me because Santa Barbara, my father was an alcoholic
yeah.
too. So I got all of that. And then I got to play one to see. And it really was interesting to me to play that because even in the playing of it, it made me really understand how difficult it is to break that addiction to, that's a really, mm-hmm. really tough disease.
Yeah, it is.
Squarespace is not only the best place to build your website, but to discover new domains too. Something like topfootballcamp.com for your top football camp, whisperingbloom.com for your silent retreat, or whisperingboom.com for your shouting retreat. Maybe velvetchords.com for your music studio or existentialglitter.com for your artist studio. With a website from Squarespace, you can build your brand and your business all at squarespace.com. Get your domain before they're gone with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your domain or website.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
What was the time in your life like in between Santa Barbara and General Hospital? Because that was a couple of years.
Yeah.
Was it scary or were you just?
Yeah, it was, I was really kicking into some spirituality because I was 35. I was in a relationship at that time. And it was baby. One thing that was not negotiable for me was being a mom. I would have died unhappy without Kate. Without that experience. So I feel, however I did it, whatever I had to go through, and it was tricky because, one of the reasons I started writing the book was I was going to write about family court because I ended up having, as you know.
I remember that,
yeah.
Yes. Many years.
Almost 4 years. It was brutal.
Yeah.
It was, there were days I just thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And, was the point of me writing about the book initially. And then I stopped because I thought, I don't know that I want to do this. And then I said, I'll come back when I'm not so angry. And it was like 10 years later. Mm-hmm. But it was brutal. And I forgot why we were talking about why I brought that up. I'm segueing.
You were saying it was in between.
I'm sorry. So it was, I wanted to make a baby. And so at 38 and a half, that relationship did not work out. And so now I was recurring on two or three different shows. So I was working, I was making money, but not, you never know when the next dollar is coming,
right?
So, and I thought, okay, I said to my ex-boyfriend when he moved, he said, what can I do to make this better? I said, you can put sperm in the bank. and
you could what?
Put sperm in the bank.
Oh,
because I, my age, what am I going to do? I called, so he did. I put, and then he moved to North Carolina, and then I called General Hospital and said, "Do you anybody want me?" And Michelle Valjean and Wendy Rich said, "Yeah, we'll take it." And Richard Colleton. So now I have a job, and now I'm. I realize this is not working. This is not going to happen the way that I thought that it would happen. And it wasn't for lack of trying, because God knows I tried. But I did not end up going to the sperm bank. So I mean, I'm going to give you my, I don't want to reveal everything because then nobody will read my book.
But. Oh, we're going to read your book. Oh, trust me.
I'm going to read the book.
But I was listening to Law of Attraction tapes and going to, I don't know if anyone's heard of Abraham Hicks. Esther Hicks.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in at the early stages of this stuff. And I was just, and I've always been a seeker and a searcher. And you're looking for that thing that'll connect heaven to earth for me. And I'm not, I would never be one to join a cult. Not even a chance of that happening. Because I like to do things and have little evidence. Yeah. Backing it and whatever I could find. And so I was on a further on to my spiritual quest, even more intensely now, because I had something that I had to have. And I, you know, it was really seemed like I would need a miracle. So I went and sat on this bench on Fryman Canyon every day, and I'd visualize. And I thought, I'm going to make one last attempt to meet someone. And I'd visualize meeting this guy, and he'd say this to me, and then we'd go here and do that. And he'd blah, blah, blah. And it's exactly what happened. And I left out a few things. And so.
Did it happen at Fryman Canyon, or you went somewhere else?
No. I saw this person for maybe two months.
Gotcha.
And saw behavior that was unacceptable to me. And then found out I was pregnant. It was 2 months later, because I was one of those rare cases where you got your period and, you know, it wasn't for one of the months. Anyway, that's TMI. In any case, that person did not want to be involved, which was, we were way not together anymore. And then when she was five, he served me with papers. So that's, and the court situation, it's a story that needs to be told, because people, I was stunned at what could happen. Mm. Stunned. And I saw the connection between heaven and earth. Things happened that I can't explain. Four women showed up out of nowhere that ended up saving Kate and me, and I work like a motherfucker, and I was made up of.
How did you balance all that? Because I remember that was a really stressful time for you.
Well, not only that, but the storyline, again, going back to this, was that Sonny was taking my child away from me. A mobster, a criminal, had gained custody in court of, you know, a child. So I remember going up to the head writer at the time, begging him to please don't do this to me. I could. You saw me. I knew.
We had a mutual friend, Angela, and yeah. I remember seeing you. And
Angela Tesnori?
No, Shapiro. Well, Mathis.
Yeah. Mathis. Yeah.
I always think of the same name.
Yeah. It was so incredibly intense, but when you look, and everything worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I was awarded full custody, but I thought the court is when you get inside the court that justice happens. And wait till you read this, because you won't believe it. And I don't, the book, I have a lot of work to do on the book.
A lot of people I don't think know like a lot of the laws, at least in the state, when it comes around family court. And I have a friend whose baby, she was similar kind of situation, but she was engaged to the man, but abused their newborn unbeknownst to her. And now he's not well. But she's fighting for justice for him, and it is crazy.
Yeah. Until you're in it, you can't.
So she's fighting. She's fighting. She's going up to, you know, fight for it and trying to change the state laws. And
I helped change one of the laws, and yeah. I'm working with after the fact, and I've helped other families and stuff. You have to, because nobody can possibly understand the injustices. Not in a child's best interest what happens in there. And, you know, I remember calling Senator Kuhl at the time, who I had a connection to, who was a state senator. And so she took my call and we talked about this. She said, it's not fair. And I said, no. So what are we doing about it? She said, the system is impenetrable. I said, well, that's no answer, is it?
Yeah.
So, and it still is. And
Are you still working on changing it?
Yeah.
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 My son is a surrogacy baby.
Mm-hmm.
And there we learned in the process that there are three tiers. There's zone one, zone two, and zone three. And I forget if one is the best or three is the best. But in certain states, if he would have been born, one of us would have been the biological parent and the other one would have had to adopt him.
Mm.
And then in states like New York and California, the blue states,
mm-hmm.
That have parental rights for same-sex couples, already fleshed out very well, he was ours. And so we were like, well, we are only going to find a surrogate in a state like Illinois or New York mm-hmm. or California, which took longer mm-hmm. and cost more. But mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to preempt any headaches down the road.
Mm.
But it is not a perfect system, because there are plenty of people. We had friends who adopted a child in Georgia, and that did not mm-hmm. go well. Mm-hmm. And anyway.
How did you get involved? Didn't you work in a clinic with children who had, mm-hmm. had suffered yeah. incest?
In my family, there was a rule, if you, you know, were feeling sorry for yourself, that you go on and do something for somebody else. My family didn't make a lot of money, but they were always volunteering or giving anything that they could have. And so we were really raised to take care of other people and think about other people. So I was, you know, in California and crying to my mom and dad, what am I done with my job and Christmas man, whatever I was whining about. And they said, I think it's time for you to go do something for somebody else. So I happened upon it. They wanted the fact that I was an actor, because they wanted us to do puppet work with these 1 to 3 year old incest victims, right? And boy, did I learn a lot. It was fascinating work, because then they also let, you know, you had to really get trained.
Yeah.
And so they would, I learned, you'd sit in with the mothers that were there. Now, what are the odds that they were molested as children, and they married perpetrators, or not knowing? That's how insidious that is, that dynamic. So yeah, so that was my experience with that.
Gosh, that's brutal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. You really did a lot of research.
I never knew that about you, Nancy. I was like, that takes a strong person to do that.
But it was fascinating. And then it turned, you know, then people were telling me, and people, I had a friend that I was very close with. I had no idea. And, you know, it happens. I forgot what the statistics are. It's terrible.
I know.
But
I know,
high. 1 to 3 year olds. 1 to 3 year olds. And it happens. So.
And you said you would go home and cry. You had to sort of, you had to get through it.
Yeah, but it was, I could do it. Yeah. I could do it. You know, I mean, that's. I was happy to do it.
You're a strong person.
So are so many people.
Yeah.
They, you know.
God bless you for doing that.
My life has been a piece of cake, cakewalk, compared to other people's lives. People are very strong and they endure a lot.
Well, but lots of people have lives that are relatively easy and don't necessarily use the gifts they are given the way you do.
I have a soapbox. So, you know, even I said at the Emmys, you know, I meant that, you know, that I use it. I it's none of my business what other people do or choose to do or not to do, but I really wish more people with much bigger platforms than I have used it to do good. Many do, and many big, big celebrities do it quietly. But I don't think enough speak up.
Well, let me, but let's see. I'm trying to think like the angle to take here. I wonder like, because I've had moments of speaking up more and then feeling like I may as well just bang my head against the wall because that feels more productive. And then moments where I'm not using my soapbox in a way, and that doesn't feel right either. And so I think I'm curious for you, what you find, like what for you is that balancing act? That's my first part of the question. And the second part is, we live in a very polarized world, as we all know. And how do you navigate that polarization with regard to, yes, you have the soapbox, but a big part of the people who are listening to you are people who disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that part of the question. And their fans. Mm-hmm. And then also your bosses. And mm-hmm. that whole mm-hmm. dynamic is mm-hmm. very delicate.
Mm-hmm. It is delicate. It's also, it's risky, for sure. The first part of your question, I think it depends. You have to assess your environment. I'm on a network. I'm just going to speak about ABC. I deeply respect them, and they have been very fair with me. I have crossed a line on occasion, and they speak to me about it, and I acknowledge it. You know, my goal is not to upset them. And I sometimes have a tendency to, my passion gets the best of me, and I also have a sense of humor, and I kind of like to write a bit, too, with my posting, and where I'll cross a line, or 50, and but intention matters, and I think, you know, my bosses understand that. And I also think it's always good for me to just be sort of reminded to be more motherly, to have my strength of my opinions and my points of view and be more motherly. I have sometimes more fun being a little more wicked. But
is that advice that is given to you by bosses to be more motherly, or that's something you've
both. I mean, both. I mean, I think I've, like I said, I think, you know, I think I'm treated very well, and I think I'm respected, and I think they appreciate me. And I think, you know, I can use the guidance every now and then.
We all can.
Yeah. I mean, I fly off the handle, and I think they've been very, very appropriate with me.
Also, I think the strongest thing that we can do as people is to apologize, right?
If we, absolutely.
When we...
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, you're really good at that.
You are.
I can go, whoops. People go, I'm not into this. Don't bring politics. Politics is involved, is in everything. Mm-hmm. It's in our schools. It's in our hospitals. It's in our roads. It's in our everything. There is nothing that doesn't involve politics, and it's our responsibility to be involved in government. So I don't have a lot of patience for anyone that doesn't agree between what is right and what is wrong on a very general moral way. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of tolerance. And so, yeah, I have, people are, don't like me. Some people don't like me, and I'm, you know, and they object to me speaking out, and that's okay. I don't care. I don't care. I don't, of course, want people to not, you know, I don't want to offend people, really. I don't. I mean, I love everyone. I'm a good friend.
I think
I'm
too.
A people person, yeah. But
you're a good person.
And I'm a good loyal friend, and I extend myself for other people. But I don't have a lot of patience in this area anymore. I respect my workplace.
Yes.
When I'm speaking, I'm in my own home, in my own space. I'm not representing General Hospital or anybody else. I'm speaking for myself.
Right.
When I'm in the studio and I'm on ABC property, I respect that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to start talking about politics in there.
Yeah.
And that's also part of the job description. They don't want you to.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm smart enough to discern between that. But I also know there's an element of me representing the show that I've been on for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to represent them well. I love them.
I have a lighthearted question.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a left turn.
Wait, let's all do this.
I know.
But I also want to say, you and I have had many discussions, and you do use your voice. And when I was saying about the environment you're in, you have to assess whether it's safe, whether it's not. You do a very good job of representing smart people.
Thank you. I think you do too. I've always liked you.
And you as well, but we don't, well, this is not our conversation. We talk about our kids.
I mean, I can talk about it here, but I just don't feel like I have enough knowledge to go at it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah.
I have opinions and I don't feel like I have enough behind me to battle it out.
And there's no reason.
Because sometimes I feel like the battle is harder than it's worth, because to me, I'm just, first of all, I struggle with just being on social media as it is.
And
just as a mom, I don't want to model that I'm
very healthy.
So,
very healthy.
I struggle with that more than I do politics. I mean, I really struggle
with this.
And it's
not
whole,
a requirement. I don't disrespect.
But I actually really respect people that do and that feel confident in doing it. And it's because you do have a lot of knowledge and you have facts and you can back it up.
I am passionate about
yes,
it.
Yes, you are. And I respect that a lot, just as he is.
But I respect also that you are being a mirror to your child and not being on social media and not, you know, when you are.
We discuss all these things at home, our views on things. We discuss that with her. We want her to know
absolutely
where we stand.
Right.
So she's clear.
And you vote. That's all. Yeah. That's all anyone is required to do. You're not required to stand on a soapbox like I do. I don't. I wish celebrities with bigger platforms would do it.
Yeah.
You know, people with millions of followers.
Yeah.
I wish Kim Kardashian and I wish they'd speak up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My silly question was going to be. Who
is this a soapy hotline question?
No, I should go to those. But I was going to ask you who you're closest to on the show. You know, I know you're very close with the girls that play your daughters.
Yeah, your girls,
but like,
my girls.
Your girls, but
can I just say? I know this is going to sound pie in the sky, but we all like each other there a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm closer to the people that have been doing this for a long time because I've, like you guys, and Maura and Finola and, you know, all those people. Because we have
been in the trenches a long time.
We've been in the trenches a long time.
We have all those experiences together,
and we're the same
too.
Age and stuff. But the, it's such a good group.
It is.
There really isn't a lemon in the bunch.
I told you, I miss it over there.
Yeah.
I love that group of people.
It's good. And there were some lemons over the years.
There always are.
But not now.
Name some names.
No. Not now.
No, we, and I know that that's true for you. It's certainly true. I think just, you know, the genre has gotten so tight and budgets are smaller and stuff. There's no room for lemons anymore. Yeah.
They really are.
You know? Yeah. I think we have a really good crew over at Days and... Anyway,
it's such a nice community.
It's the best.
I'm so glad that I stayed in my lane.
Yeah.
You know?
And same.
Same, right?
Same.
You know, I mean, thank God I kept staying on Santa Barbara. Thank God that I get to be my age and still have this job. And I still love it.
Yeah.
I still have fun. I still like to acty schmacked. And I sometimes really feels good to do really good work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to make fun of. And I just resigned my contract.
Yay! Congratulations.
So, another 3 years. And I'm sick grateful for this part of my life.
Also, the genre, and in large part of what we're doing right here, is just celebrating that for a long time, it felt like doom and gloom, and we were all hanging on. And now there's energy and enthusiasm. There's a brand new soap.
Yeah.
And it does feel like the tide has turned, and there's longevity. And
it's such a great job.
Why do you think people should tune into soaps?
Right now, more than ever, because it's familiar, it's consistent, it's dependable, it's harmless.
Great answer.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a really good
answer. Okay, we have a hotline question, and somebody wanted to know if you have a dream storyline for Lexus, something that you haven't played yet that you would like to...
You know, when you look back and go, you've done so many things. I mean, where else are we going to get the opportunity to have play out so many different scenarios, right? I'm trying to think, what haven't I done? Oh, my God. You'd think I'd be prepared for this question because it's asked a lot. What?
You know, it's funny. I don't often think about what I want. I always trust the writers are going to write something.
Yeah.
I don't think about what I would want because I feel like, I don't know, I'm always given something fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, there's trust.
There's lulls when you're not really, I mean, I don't know.
Also, trust. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
I know.
I kind of just have, but I will come up with something, some ideas sometimes and just I'll go suggest them and see if they do it.
Do they?
Yeah, they have actually. Sometimes they have.
Can you share any of the ones?
It's too many. I can't specifically remember. And by the way, if I ever, it was my idea and they took it, they wouldn't want me to say it was my idea. but they're very open-minded. I mean, I love our team. I really do.
I know, you have a good team. Okay. Yeah. Can you share, this is another question from fans. Can you share memories from your time playing Julia in Santa Barbara? We kind of talked about it.
Yeah,
we talked about a lot of these questions
yeah,
here.
It was...
magical,
it
amazing.
It was a real growth period for me. The character was terribly interesting. And thank God for that, because that kept me in daytime. If it weren't, I wouldn't have stayed, and I'm glad I stayed, and I'm glad I went back, and I went back to General Hospital to have Kate, one way or another. Yeah.
Can we gush on Kate?
Can we gush on Kate?
About your daughter? Because I know how fun it is to talk about your child.
All of our kids are pretty great.
Why not? But Kate is a singer.
Kate.
Songwriter.
Okay, so please follow Kate at kate.grahn, G-R-A-H-N, kate.grahn on Instagram and TikTok. I'm not on TikTok much anymore.
I'm going to follow her right now so I don't forget.
Yeah. Because apparently you need followers more than talent. So I'm not being pissy about it. It's just a reality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tech has taken over the music industry, the TV industry, you know, everything. And tech people are bottom line people. So they don't develop talent anymore. They want it already established and already.
Or following.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that's just the way it is. Okay. And I'm not bitching or moaning. I'm just saying... the more people that follow Kate, the easier it'll be for her to get her music done. She's very talented. I'm very proud of her.
Well, the apple didn't fall far, clearly.
Well, she's much better than I am. She's a much better human being than I am.
Oh, I don't know about that. You raised her, so she is. Therefore.
No, but she came in. She is a. She's a sweet girl. Aww. Yeah. She saved me. You know, she came in. I wished for her, and that's when I said she was my moment of grace. And so her middle name is Grace, Catherine Grace.
Aww.
No.
It's so sweet. So amazing to see you.
Yeah, you're just a delight.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for sitting here.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's why we invited you here, our little hummingbird.
We love you.
I should have had lunch. I'd be less talky. I was so chatty. What was that about?
We wanted you to be chatty. Imagine if we were just sitting here, the three of us like this.
But as my friends say, they say you skip from one place to the other and it's hard to follow you sometimes where your brain goes. It's got to be weird to be a fly on the wall of my brain.
No, it was good. We stayed on course. It was good.
You can watch the lovely Nancy Legron on General Hospital weekdays on ABC or on Hulu. Isn't that where you guys stream?
Yeah.
And you can watch this episode of Soapy as well as any others you may have missed on the CBS YouTube channel or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being with us.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
We'll see you guys next time.
You guys have a good editor?
Yes, we do.
The critically acclaimed series, Colin from Accounts, returns for a brand new season.
But what is it?
We're friends.
We are togetherly.
We're friendly together.
With a dog.
Colin from Accounts, new season, streaming September 10th, only on Paramount+.